Welcome to Credit Union Conversations Podcast with your host, Mark Ritter, a forward-thinking CEO who excels in helping credit unions, small businesses, and real estate investors succeed. Join Mark as he explores current trends, interviews industry experts, and get fresh insights on optimizing your operations and delivering the best possible services to credit union members.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Ritter, CEO of MBFS and New Direction Lending, joining you for another episode of Credit Union Conversations. And today we have a little bit of a mixed bag. We're going to talk about some of the new regulations that impact your credit union lending this year. And we're going to talk a little bit of participation lending and small business lending and some war stories from the past. And joining me today is somebody from inside my shop. Tammy Baker is joining us today. Tammy, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, Tammy, tell people a little bit about yourself, what you've done in the past. We go way back, obviously, so it'll be old hat for me. And tell people what you're doing here at MBFS and New Direction Lending today.
Sure. So I've been in the banking industry 25 years, started in retail banking, but spent most of my career in commercial banking and managing a participation portfolio for a large credit union. I created a servicing team for that credit union's business lending area. And came over to work with Mark in the past, obviously, and joined MBFS in August of 2020. And I am running the New Direction Lending Division for the CUSO, which is our small business lending program that we started in 2020.
Great. One of the things that is a new piece this year, and Tammy, when we worked together at Members First, your office was next to mine. And you could hear me screaming each quarter as we managed the business loan cap. It was a nightmare. And over the years, that has really changed in this world. And for those of you maybe just learning some things and checking us out. So credit unions, particularly federal credit unions, have a regulatory cap. And historically, it was 12.25% of assets. And 20 years ago, it was very much a hard cap. It was 12.25% of your assets you can do in business loans. And over the years, that got chipped away in a few different manners. And the first was the NCUA and the industry really started to open up the low-income designation for credit unions. And if a credit union is a CDFI, which stands for Community Development Financial Institution, or a low-income credit union as determined by their rules, they became exempt from that statutory cap on business loans. And then, to chip away a little bit more, any participation loans that the credit union did to a non-member did not count against that cap. So that opened it up a little bit more. And maybe it's probably 4 years ago, back in 2017, Congress passed a law where any single loan secured by a 1-to-4 family residential property didn't count either. And that really opened things up. Now, a few years ago, when the NCUA deregulated business lending, they put this one little twist into the rules where the cap on business loans was not 12.25% of assets, but rather it was 1.75 times the minimum net worth requirement of the credit union. Well, for years after that, it was 7% times 1.75 equals 12.25% of assets, which is where that rule came from. But this year it changed. And with the risk-based net worth, many of our credit unions today have minimum net worth requirements of 9 and 10%. So your new business lending cap this year, if your minimum net worth requirement is not 12.25%, it's now 15.75% if your minimum net worth requirement is 9%, which has really changed the game for credit unions, because there was very few credit unions today between all the new exemptions that were really struggling with the cap. But there still were some out there that were pushing up against that cap, and that has given them significantly more, much more room in their lending capacity to make loans and help businesses in that area. So I'm really excited that credit unions have even more capacity than what they had last year to help out small businesses in their community. And it has made those of us managing a member business lending program, it even throws more complexity into managing that cap, but it is well worth it with that extra room. Now, also, back in when Tammy and I were working together, Tammy, tell people what your role was at Members First when you joined our group.
Yeah, so I was the AVP of the participations and our servicing team for the business lending department at Members First before Great. I came to MBFS. So I did manage the cap at Members First. And like Mark mentioned earlier, there were times where it was, you know, we had a couple million dollars in cap space, and then you were fumbling to sell as much as you could, as quickly as you could. And then the next thing you know, you'd have a bunch of payoffs and it would kind of all equal out. But yeah, it could definitely be stressful at times managing that cap.
Yes, the participation marketplace has its highs and lows and buying and selling. And it always seemed like finding those partners was the toughest part to really find some quality assets to book. What did you do for really finding good loans and reliable sources to purchase, to put credit union assets on? What were your tricks of the trade?
You know, I think it really came down to kind of really getting yourself involved in the industry and networking with other credit unions, attending those conferences where other credit unions were at, talking to different CUSOs, and building those relationships with other credit unions that had business lending departments. You know, maybe you visit their shop, get an understanding of what they were doing and how they were running their operation. And, you know, building that partnership and networking and relationship with those folks to feel comfortable when you're looking to buy from another credit union as far as a participation. And then also it helps on the other end if you're looking to sell. It gets folks comfortable with you and your program. We did a lot of in-house visits at Members First where we allowed credit unions to come in and spend the day with us and, you know, look at our operation from, you know, origination all the way to funding and even in the collection side if need be. So I think the key for me having the success that I had with the participations was really building those relationships with other credit union partners.
Yeah, there are some people who look at it as an investment, as just a transaction, but it's really a sales and relationship program and process, just like it is when making and originating loans. It's not just simply an order taker. In some of the marketplaces, many times when you see those loans, they've been shopped around quite a few times, and you're seeing, because some people work with those trusted partners first and foremost. So walk me through when you were purchasing participation loans, what were your best practices in due diligence and kind of the process for you on from evaluating this first potential loan through booking it?
Sure. Sure. So if we were speaking with a new credit union and looking at a loan to purchase, one of the main things we did was we always did a financial review on the credit union itself. And that was just pulling data from the NCUA reports. And, you know, we want to make sure that the credit union is in good financial standing before we would start a relationship with them. You know, the second thing is most likely lots of phone calls, you know, asking questions about, again, their business lending operation, how they do things, also getting them to share with us their underwriting policies, you know, or their actual MBL policy in whole so that we can take a look. Not that it would be exactly the way ours was, but that we were in agreement with what their policy said and we were okay with it. You know, an important thing is to really look at that collections process in there to make sure if something does go bad, that you understand how that collection process is going to work with that lead lender. And then once all of those things, you know, you feel comfortable with that, then it's looking at the deal itself, you know, and you're doing your underwriting of that deal and you're getting all the documentation and reviewing it. And, you know, looking at the rate and what is the pass through. So what's the servicing being charged? All of those things were very important for our process, you know, to make sure that we were comfortable with the credit union as the lead lender and also that particular deal that came through for us to look at.
Great. And now you were in one of the rare positions of both buying loans and selling loans. You worked on both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm. What did you do as a lead lender so that what did you do and what was important to you to make the process go smooth to potential participants when you were selling loan assets? Mm-hmm. Because if you're a pain to work with, sometimes you might have good loans, but people kind of steer away from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And honestly, you know, I will go back to actually something that you instituted while you were at Members First, and it, you know, became a yearly event. We had a business lending conference, and we bought credit unions in every year for, you know, a day and a half, 2 days, something like that. And again, it just goes back to building those partnerships with those other credit union folks. And it's, I think it just comes down to trust. You know, do they like you as a person, and do they trust what you're saying and what you're supplying to them? And I think the other thing is, once you get through that first loan where you are selling to a credit union, you know, the follow-up is the key. You know, are you checking in with them? Do they need anything? Are you responding quickly when, you know, maybe they have an auditor coming in and they're missing something in the file? Are you responding in a timely manner to get that for them? You know, that's something that I did at Members First. If I had a credit union that purchased from us, it was a priority if I got an email requesting something that I took care of that right away. You know, and I was on top of that and making sure the reporting that we had for them was accurate and correct and it was delivered in a timely manner. So it really is almost like building a relationship with a borrower, so to speak. And it's fostering that relationship and continuing to build that trust between yourself and the credit union that's purchasing from you.
I remember when I first started dealing with participations, those relationships were key and understanding mm-hmm. the markets were key. And as a result, oftentimes people bought and sold in their corner of the universe, maybe a couple hours from their office, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And I've really looking back, one of the reasons we did that and why we had to do that was technology. There weren't all the reports on marketplaces and industries and data that we could find. And I really think with technology and databases and reports and industry reports and marketplace reports, you can understand a much, much bigger range of the universe and the world than what we did 10 to 15 years ago. And it's people sometimes will focus on their neighborhood, their region. But I always like to say, just because a loan is closer to you doesn't mean it's better than a loan that's a couple hours away. And I think it's people still need to do that due diligence. But in today's world, there's a lot more resources to do that than just beyond, looking and kicking the tires on the property. You can use Google Maps and see neighborhoods and areas and what's going on. And I think it works great. So,
yeah, I agree. It's times have definitely changed. And I think you're right. I think with all the technology we have today, it does make that process a little bit easier and you can get more comfortable with it with the technology today.
So let's shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about small business lending. And I mentioned on my last episode with talking with the folks from Windsor Advantage about SBA lending. Credit unions from day one have always said, we want to help the local community. We want to help the small business. We want to do more for our community. But the truth is, over 95% of our loans today are real estate secured loans. And the vast majority of them are investment real estate, apartment buildings, office buildings, something with a tenant where it's not a small business, it's a real estate investment. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it just is, it's a different type of business and it's not your small business that's employing people with companies, with jobs, that they're producing products and selling products. Most of the time, they're just collecting rents. And credit unions, I think, inherently want to help those small businesses, but they just struggle with it for years and years. And sometimes I think it comes down to processing the loans. Generally, these loans are smaller. Many times, small businesses don't need to purchase a property. They need working capital. They need vehicles. They need lines of credit. And they need many things that aren't real estate secured. But other times, we have lenders where they have goals, and their goals aren't split up. You give somebody a $10 million goal, they're going to want to produce that plus some. And the reality is sometimes it's easier to make those numbers and to make those goals with larger loans and not the small business loans. But really, these relationships are valuable to the credit union. The small business owner is the complete relationship that everybody talks about. At your credit union, everybody wants wallet share. Everybody wants market share. Everybody wants a deeper relationship. And your small business owner, they have small business deposit needs where they keep plenty of money in your account. They have lending needs. They need a business credit card. They need a retirement plan for them and their employees, and they have investments. But more importantly, they're a local person who has mortgages. They need car loans. They need everything that your credit union offers. They are not borrowers. They are not savers. They are not just, they are that, the small business owner can really be that complete relationship. Now, the bad part is everybody else knows this too. And that's why the competition is fierce from the banks in trying to build and maintain these relationships. But we're lucky, I think, Tammy, in that we have that community financial institution that everybody is looking for. And we need to sell ourselves as that community bank of 25 years ago where you could have those relationships and know, and really look to credit unions as that choice for the community-based lenders, as opposed to just being real estate lenders. Mm-hmm. But it takes time, it takes experience, and it takes a committed effort in the sales process and the relationship process. So what do you think about the small business? You've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of going through that, Tammy. What do you think of the credit unions trying to penetrate that small business space and where they've struggled?
Yeah, you know, I definitely think it's, you're exactly right. Everybody wants that wallet share. And, you know, credit unions are about serving their community. So what better way than doing that with actually grabbing those small, true small businesses? And it definitely is a struggle. And I think, you know, one thing that, you know, I've witnessed is, you know, it takes the same amount of time to process a $500,000 loan as it does a $2.5 million loan. So, you know, obviously, like you said, your sales folks, you know, they got goals to meet. So those higher dollar loan amounts kind of definitely make it easier to meet those goals. You know, and I do think sometimes taking on that entire risk for credit union, if it's a $500,000 loan and, you know, they don't, the business doesn't have the real estate as collateral, sometimes even though they like the credit, it's taking on the risk of that entire loan if something were to go wrong. And there isn't a, you know, a brick and mortar building as this collateral for, to make that comfort level be there. So it definitely is a struggle. I think it continues to be a struggle. I think a lot of credit unions are looking for different avenues of where they can place those loans because they certainly want to meet the needs of those small business members, whether it's an existing member or maybe it's someone they're talking to that could be a potential new member to bring into the credit union. So I definitely think they are looking for, like I said, some type of, whether it's a third party or a different program, you know, to meet that need for their members. So, which probably leads us into what I'm currently doing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things that really began to worry me a few years ago is the fast, quick money loans and financing out there that I think can really just be a death sentence for the small business. All over the internet and on, I see the ads on cable news, get your money fast, quick, easy. And then the deeper I started to look, these businesses are paying up to 30, 40% interest rate in some cases. The payments are just onerous. And it really becomes almost like the payday lending version of the consumer loan, and it just becomes a death spiral for these businesses. So a couple of years ago, we were kicking some things around and decided to form this division called New Direction Lending. So tell people a little bit about it and what you're up to these days and what New Direction Lending does.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. So New Direction Lending is a entity that basically we're getting into the fintech world of lending. And, you know, we're kind of unique because we're owned by credit unions, so we can be competitive with our terms and our rates. You know, we have one simple product at this point. It is a fully amortizing loan up to 5 years. It's $50,000 minimum to $500,000. And we're really helping those true small businesses that don't have the real estate as collateral. You know, we've funded our first loan in, I believe, November of 2020. And it's just grown dramatically since then and continues to get interest from credit unions to be able to help their members that are asking for this product. And you're right, you know, I can tell you that those payday loans and these high interest rates, we've seen it. You know, we've done a lot of deals where we're refinancing that debt for our, you know, small business members that are paying 30% or a daily payment, and their payment every day changes and their interest rate changes. So it's definitely a need out there. And, you know, we're partnering with many credit unions and talking with many folks. And, you know, we feel good about the program. It's been successful so far. And we do have some guidelines for the program. You know, the business must be in operation at least 2 years. They have to have revenue of $150,000 or greater the last 12 months. And then, of course, all of your kind of basic credit qualifications, no delinquencies, judgment, liens, things like that. And then a FICO score requirement for the owners of the business of at least 650. So yeah, that's kind of the program in a nutshell.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm just really proud of in our program is how quick and fast we're able to get. It's really an online process for the businesses. And, you know, sometimes a small business calls a credit union and says, we need a loan. The first thing is, well, let's meet. Let me bring your financials in. I can meet, you know, next Wednesday, bring it in. And then they get there and it's all paper. Whereas this is really kind of that online process. But our, to me, I'd put the underwriting behind that and the thoroughness of it behind any loan in America for small businesses. So why don't you tell people how, what are the options for credit unions participating?
Sure. Yeah. So we have two options where credit unions can participate in the program. The first one's an easy, quick process. And that's just, you know, becoming a referral credit union. So if you're getting a lot of these types of requests at your credit union, you know, you can refer it to New Direction and then your credit union is paid a referral fee on that. That one's pretty easy to set up. The unique piece of the program is actually being a credit union that participates in purchasing these loans each month. And the unique thing about that is what we've been able to do is take those loans and spread the risk among multiple credit unions as opposed to one credit union taking on that entire loan amount. And the entire risk. So each month, we basically take the loans that we've funded the previous month and we break them up into micro participation, so to speak, where each credit union is buying about 9.5% of each loan that we fund. And of course, we're doing loans all over the United States, except for four states, which are the Dakotas, Nevada, and Vermont. So you're definitely getting some diversification in the portfolio that you're purchasing into. And yeah, that's kind of the unique feature about it. And obviously, credit unions are looking for participations right now. We know that for sure. So
great.
Yeah, that's all kind right. of what we're doing with New Direction. So, and it's been perceived very well. We have I think we probably have 15 to 20 credit unions that are participating in that right now.
So tell me, let's wrap things up here and give me, give people and tell them one of the success stories we've had with New Direction Lending.
Yeah, going back to talking about these loans that are charging crazy high rates and crazy terms, we had a jeweler in California that basically wanted to establish some credit for his business and obviously didn't own any real estate for the business or anything like that. He leases his space and he did a loan. He was paying like 30% interest and having more conversations with him come to find out that he actually, the interest rate changed on a daily basis. So some days it would be like 43% interest. So we're able to basically refinance that. He was so thankful and grateful for that. And he speaks very highly about New Direction Lending today. So he's actually invited Mark out to visit him. So
I'll go out to anytime to Southern California. So
that's the whole goal is truly helping people and doing the right thing for them financially. And that was exactly what we did.
Well, Tammy, thank you for joining us today. We appreciated talking some more stories from the past about participation lending, a little bit about the small business lending, and the New Direction Lending Program. So that's a wrap for today. And I hope you enjoyed this show. And remember to subscribe for us on your favorite podcast channel. And don't forget out there, everybody you talk to, tell them about credit unions. Make sure they know our industry is an option. And thank you and have a great day. Catch us on our next episode in 2 weeks.
Thank you for listening to the Credit Union Conversations podcast. Have a question? Visit markritter.com for more information.